Nike is putting Colin Kaepernick back in the spotlight. The former quarterback was the first in the NFL to kneel in protest against racism. Now Nike has added him to a lineup of athletes to feature in a new ad campaign to mark the 30th anniversary of its Just Do It slogan. Kaepernick shared an image from the ad on social media, which has the quote, "Believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything."
A judge in Myanmar found two Reuters journalists guilty of collecting state secrets on Monday. Wallone and Cho So-woo have been sentenced to 7 years in prison. It's a case that's widely seen as a test of progress towards democracy in Myanmar. The judge ruled the two reporters breached the Official Secrets Act, a colonial-era law, when they handled documents related to security forces.
Coca-Cola is buying the world's second largest coffee chain. The soda giant snapping up Britain's Costa from Whitbread for $5.1 billion. That gives it 4,000 coffee outlets in the UK and across Europe. For Coca-Cola, it's about reducing dependency on fizzy pop. Chief Executive James Quincey says hot beverages have been the big gap in the company's range of drinks.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's September the 4th, and it's 5:10 in the morning. Good morning to you. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day and another business week getting underway. We've got a good show for you this morning, a twofer with authors this morning. We'll begin in just a moment with our first author, the author of the launch book, Motivation Stories to Launch Your Idea, Your Business, or Next Career. And a little bit later in the program, John Molloy will be here. He's the author of Molloy's Popularity Game. You may remember him, too, as the author of Dress for Success. We're going to be talking a little bit about those books, those ideas in the business world. That'll be at about 5:40 this morning. But first, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Futures are pointing toward flat open on Wall Street later this morning after the long holiday weekend. Dow futures are down 22 points, but NASDAQ futures are up about 9 points. S&P futures are up just a fraction as well. Around the globe this morning, markets are generally higher in Europe, in London, Germany, and in France. Markets are lower, with the DAX off nearly 100 points. That's about 82, that's about almost three-quarters, more than three-quarters, actually. And the CAC in France is off almost 1%. In Asia, markets are generally mixed, with the Nikkei going to end the day down a few points. The Hang Seng, though, is up about a full percent, nearly 260 points. Oil this morning is trading at about $70.99 a barrel, and that is up $1.19. Headline before we begin this morning, Colin Kaepernick has a new deal with Nike, even without having a job in the NFL. Kaepernick's attorney made the announcement on Twitter, calling the former San Francisco 49ers quarterback an all-American icon, and getting a deal done with Nike that will feature him as the face and person behind the Believe in Something, Even If It Means Sacrificing hashtag Just Do It campaign. Kaepernick already had a deal with Nike that was set to expire, but it was renegotiated into a multi-year deal to make him one of the faces of Nike's 30th anniversary Just Do It campaign. Well, we begin front and center this morning with the author of the launch book, Motivation Stories to Launch Your Idea, Your Business, or Next Career. Sonyan Sheng is with us this morning. Sonyan, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
This is a good day to do an interview like this because back from the three-day holiday weekend, kids here in Chicago are going back to school today. So a lot of people are looking for some motivation to get back and running today and get back to school, get back to whatever they're doing. What would be your most important advice to people who are thinking about launching something, about how to begin?
The one most important thing is to just begin. So many of us have great ideas, great projects that we're thinking about doing, or maybe that great book or that great next career. But how many of us actually take the first step in doing it? And so the first thing is to just take the first step. And taking the first step starts with having a better sense of who you are and why you're interested in pursuing that project and then evaluating why that project is worth pursuing and why it's in alignment with your purpose and your being in the world.
I like the way that you describe or define a launch. Tell our listeners how you define it.
Oh, so this week, actually, we're starting a campaign where we're asking readers, what does launch mean to you? Because in the process of writing this book, I've seen launch is about change, right? Launch is about change. And it's all we're all facing changes every single day in our lives. And so those changes are externally driven and beyond our control. It can be, in, for example, if you're a business, it can be a new type of competitor. It may be just simply a different phase in your life if your launch is about a new career or a new phase. And so launch is really about change, and people address change and the different types of changes differently. And so a launch can be career, it can be a new phase, it can be that home renovation project that you have always been thinking about, but just never got started on it. And it can be, if you're a business, an entrepreneurship idea that you guys, your team, has been considering, or it can be a new business. So it's all just about addressing change.
You've had a couple of these in your life, and do you write about them in your book? And how important are those stories to giving other people motivation?
Stories are so key, because when you think about stories, we see data and information and advice all the time. But if we go back and think about the stories that we hear and the advice are coupled with stories, stories make things stickier, right? They have emotional resonance. And so that's why I chose to relay a lot of the ideas with the support of stories. Now, I did relay, I did take the plunge and relay a lot of my own personal stories in the book, because I realized as I was writing this book that I was, that the writing of the book, it's my first book, is a launch in itself. And guess what? I faced fear. I wasn't immune to it. I faced fear and fear of failure and all the fears that come along with addressing change, right? So I decided to, if I was going to connect with the reader and really be able to help the reader, I needed to relay those personal stories too.
Sonya Cheung is with us today. Sonya, a CEO coach, advisor to Google Ventures, also the executive director of Duke's University Coach K Center on Leadership and Ethics, and an adjunct associate professor at Duke University's Pratt School of Business. Sonya, in the book you talk about, there are some stories there about leadership and how having some of that on your side also helps in a launch. Give us a sense of what you mean by that.
So having those stories, stories are really information that's put into a context that's emotionally resonant. And so we remember advice much better when it's relayed in a story. And so as an example, one of the pieces of advice I share is when you're launching something, there's usually a consumer of that launch at the end of it. So instead of waiting until you have the idea perfected and the product or service that you're thinking about launching perfected and then running it by that consumer or that customer, start by engaging those prospective customers to co-create your product instead. Now, if you're, you may be asking at this point, if you're launching a new career, well, who is the customer? Well, the customer is those who are in the industry whom you're seeking to enter. And so start by reaching out to those whom you think are, whom you know, or whom, even on LinkedIn, as an example, people are so much more accessible today. Reach out on someone to someone in that industry and start asking them questions, seeking their advice, running by them, here are the type of skill sets that you have. Here are the things that you have usually bring to the table to add value. How can those things help add value to that particular industry? And as you're getting this information and data back and the answers to this question, it will help you, one, not only refine how you are framing yourself and your resume, but it also might give you the language that those in the industry, those industry insiders use in terms of just that language that you can incorporate into your resume. And that's an example of how you cooperate with the customer.
You also write, and I think it kind of dovetails with that, is how it's important to have in your words, a tribe behind you. Mentors, partners, all kinds of folks. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Okay. So the thing is, when you look back on our successes, or the times when we've been able to get back up from failures, let's face it, none of us ever succeeded alone. It's always built on, there are others. When we reflect back, there are all the others who have helped push us forward and propel us forward. And so when we're launching something, why would we want to launch alone? Isn't it so much better to launch with a tribe? And there's four types of people that you want in that tribe. You mentioned already mentors, those who have done it before, who can help you leapfrog and shore up your experiences with their experiences and their advice. Mentors. You also need a category of people that are your naysayers and truth-tellers. And these are people who are honest with you and can say, give you that feedback, saying, you know what, this idea is not the best idea. Now, I know we usually cringe when people are, poo-pooing our idea. But what we want to do is really dig down and ask them, okay, so what about this idea? What are you seeing that's making you think that this is not a good idea? And usually people have a good intuitive feel about whether something will work or not. But through that digging, you can elicit why and diagnose why they don't think it will work. And that might hit one of your blind spots. I'll give you an example of a story. So I was recently with my friend and colleague, Dr. Bob Lefkowitz, who is the 2012 Nobel Laureate in chemistry. Now, we all agree Nobel Laureates are in chemistry and sciences are really, really smart. And yet, what Bob does is in his laboratory, one of the smartest people in the world, he gives out an award every year it's called the John Bylen Award for Metaphysical Skepticism. And it's given to the skeptic in the lab who fulfills that role. You would think, why would one of the smartest people in the world encourage and foster skepticism? That naysaying or that truth-telling. And he said, well, it's because we all have blind spots. And isn't it better for the idea to be refined, the experiments, the paper, for that to be refined and, have someone poke holes in that so we can fix it so it's as good as can be before it goes out in the public domain? Isn't that better than having it go out with you thinking it's great and perfect and then having the rest of the world poke holes in it?
Oh, that's wonderful. So, I love that. Sonia, you talked about having a truth teller nearby as well. Ethics and truth are in your wheelhouse. We talked about your work with Duke University in that area of leadership and ethics. How important is the ethical part of the launch story?
Oh, ethics is so important. It's one of the unnegotiable constraints in our life, right? It should be one of the unnegotiable constraints in our organizations, in our life. And so ethics is critical. And how I address that in the launch book is, first of all, within the launch, you have to start with knowing you, with being you. And part of that is knowing what are your values, what are the priority of those values. And so whatever it is that you're launching has to be in alignment with that, because how that ties in with the very end of launch is there's some things that, some ideas that as you progress, you explore, you realize, you know what, launching it may actually not be the best thing to do, right? Launching it, we shouldn't launch every single idea that we have. Launching it may not be the best thing to do because it's not in alignment with who we are. It's not in alignment with the values. And if you don't have it in alignment, you're not going to have that sense of belief. And, you know, belief, when you think about when something goes out into the real world, product or service goes out to market, it's going to be tested by ups and downs. Yeah. And what keeps you, what sustains you over those downs is that sense of belief. What sustains your team over those downs is that sense of belief. And so the alignment with values, and part of those values is integrity, right, and ethics.
Sonia, we appreciate you being with us this morning, continued success, especially with your book and everything else. And I think you've given us some marching orders today to just change from the status quo if we do nothing else today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me here. It's been such a delight. And have a great launch to your day.
All right, you as well. Sonia Sheng, author of The Launch Book, Motivational Stories to Launch Your Idea, Business, or Next Career. It's 5:30. This is the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Catherine Davis with today's NO Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by ChicagoNO.com. Perkspot, a Chicago-based startup that makes an HR tech platform, has raised $50 million from Israel-based Susquehanna Growth Equity. Perkspot says it will use the funds to hire more employees and expand its offerings. And Mindwell, a Chicago plant-based jerky company, has received a $100,000 seed investment from the Zell Founders Fund, a student-led venture fund at the University of Michigan. The startup makes high-protein jerky with no artificial flavors or ingredients. That's today's NO Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoNO.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell after the long holiday weekend. Glad you're back with us. Glad we're back at it together. We thought we would share our second author with you today. A nice letter came from John Malloy a couple of weeks ago about his new book called Malloy's Popularity Game. We immediately took a look at it because he's also the author of Dress for Success and some other important books. John is with us this morning to talk a little bit about Malloy's popularity game. John, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve. Delighted to be with you. Your audience is the one I like best.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the things that you may not understand, I do not appreciate fully, is how powerful a show you have. Because we did a study of presidents and vice presidents of corporations. And one of the things they do is they get up around 6 or just before 6 in the morning, and they start their day then. I'm sure some of them tune into you. I'm sure some of them are listening now. And they have a tremendous influence on our community because they then contact the people under them who contact the people under them, so the day gets off with a running start.
And we take full note of that, too. I know I know personally of CEOs that are already at their desk, have been at their desks for about 45 minutes already, or if not longer. So we're mindful of that. We want folks to be just as successful as those CEOs, though, which is why you're here this morning and with us. Tell us about the popularity game.
Okay. Let me start by two things. It's based on two studies. About 15-20 years ago, there was a study that said corporations promoted the most popular person rather than the best one. Now, corporations obviously didn't want that, and they, when I first brought it to their attention, oh, not us, but when they looked at it, they found out it was true. And they started hiring me to train their executives to get along better with their other executives, to be more friendly, more outgoing, or what have you. And they did that because I had been running a course called Popularity and Sales for almost 35 years. Once I got into that, two things happened. Number one, there was a we went and we talked to about, well, 4 or 5 years later, corporations came to me and said, would you train our executives to be more friendly? And I said, I'd try, but I didn't know if I could do it. But I did that for about 5 years. And then I ran across, I went and I visited my brother, and I ran across a picture of me when I was 3 and a half. It's on the front cover of my book. And in that picture, I looked at it, and my wife looked at it and said, oh, my God, you haven't changed at all. You're the same. And when I brought the picture home and showed it to my neighbor, he said, don't rob banks, John. We'll know it's you.
Right. Yeah.
It's you. It's just, we know it's you. When I showed it to my son, he said, oh, even with the big ears, and I have them, I know it was you. And I said, no kidding. And because I'm a researcher, I send out things regularly to a group of people, about 120,000, but I think about 60,000 are left. I just put them out there for anyone who's interested. And I said, here's a picture of me when I was 3 and a half. Everybody says it's still me. Do you have a similar picture? What's your reaction to it? I expected a couple hundred replies. I got 18,000. In my entire research career, I never had a reaction like that. And those, not only did I get numbers of replies, what they said was interesting. They not only said, first, it's not, I think that what they said is, first, not only do we have a picture like that, but many of them said, oh, that happens when you're about two, you become a real person. And I started talking to some of my neighbors, and they said, that's true. Your kid all of a sudden becomes a real person at a certain point. They look like babies. They look the same. Then become somebody real. But they said something else. We knew who he copied. He copied Charlie, copied his cousin, he copied his brother, he copied. And then they went a step further. They said, we know who she copied, Mary, Jane, what have you. And then the final stage was, she copied Mary, who was the president of her class, and now she's the most popular girl in her class. Or she copied Susan, who's the president of class, and she's doing terrifically. But they also said, he copied Charlie, who everyone hates, and now he's hated. Mm-hmm. So apparently who you copied made a difference.
So is that, can that be translated? I mean, so I always think back, John, to what teachers always used to tell us this. Mr. Grisanich, it's not a popularity contest. Remember, I think maybe you may have been told that once. I know other people are. How do we get past this notion of it's not a popularity contest, but it's important?
Oh, by the way, it is a popularity contest to a degree. Unless you're well-liked, you're not going to make it into the executive ranks. The guys at the top want to bring people up around them they're going to get along with. And although I'm not suggesting that if you're a boob and you're popular, you're going to go up to the top. You're not. It's if there's a contest between two fellas or two women or a man and a woman, and one is very popular and the other is not, the chance of the very popular person to be promoted is something like 80%.
Yeah.
Popular people do get promoted. It happens so often that companies hired me to train their executives to get along better with their other executives.
So
I was doing that for years.
Yeah. Aside from copying somebody who's doing it the right way, what are some other ways to become popular, to fix this problem?
Frankly, there's a whole series of other things you could do. For example, if you meet someone for the first time, women often smile broadly. You're dead. If you smile broadly when you meet someone for the first time, you've killed yourself, because you can't keep a smile on your face for a long period of time, and it turns people off the minute you turn a smile off. It's if you meet people with a pleasant look on your face, you are far better, more likely to be thought of as a nice person. The second thing you have to understand is you have to have enthusiasm when you meet someone. But it has to be managed enthusiasm. Women often gush all over the place and they turn people off. You have to have managed enthusiasm. You have to have an easy, pleasant persona. You have to be likable and charming. And we found that this is a teachable skill. I have a picture on the front of the book with me as a 3.5-year-old, and I looked at it. I brought it home, sent it out to people, and they wrote back all these things we can teach people. And I said, oh, I can teach it now. I know exactly what to do. I was so excited. I said, I finally can teach popularity. I can do it. You know, all those books in the past, How to Win Friends and Influence People, they didn't work. If you weren't popular when you saw them, you weren't popular when you ended them. I can do it. I know what the credentials are.
Yeah.
But the minute I tried, I failed.
Yeah, let's talk, John, about how difficult this might be to teach folks in this digital age.
Actually, it's easy. What happened is I found I couldn't do it. The minute I taught them, they reverted back, what I call reverted back to type. They did what they had always been doing. No matter how hard I tried, and believe me, I tried. I was hired by companies to make their workforces amiable, cooperative, and more effective. And I found I couldn't do it until one company came up with the walk-around sheet. Now, if you wonder what the walk-around sheet is, I'm going to tell something to your audience that no author ever tells their audience. First, don't buy my book. You may not need it. About 1/3 of executives do not need it. They're popular already, or they wouldn't be executives. The second thing I have to tell you is I suggest you go to Malloy's popularity book. Forget about the things. If you go to the Malloy's popularity game, look underneath it for the Malloy's popularity book, and that will take you to my site. And there you can get the walk-around. It's free. Doesn't cost you a nickel. If you get the walk-around sheet and you use it, you will know whether people like you or not. And people say, hey, wait, everybody likes me. Are you sure? When we did the research, we found out most people thought they were liked weren't, and many people thought they were unpopular were popular. They had no idea how people reacted to them. They work in an office where everybody just caters to them because they have a certain job. But the minute they leave that environment, they don't have friends. The other thing we found is that corporate executives in the only those who had got along with others very well were promoted. They didn't promote others. That's what this book is geared to do. This book is geared to teach executives how to be popular. That's the primary goal of the book. Now, by the way, I'll send 10 copies of the book to teenagers who want to be popular, people who have problems in their lives. They will love it. And I'll do that later when I go on a book tour. But for your audience, I guarantee if you're an executive and you want to get a promotion, it is absolutely critical that you're able to charm the people you meet. Because only those who are charming get promoted. The others get turned over. And if years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, someone else got the promotion you deserved, it's probably because they were more likable than you. And likability is a teachable skill. This little text will teach anybody but likable in about 3 months.
John, it is a good read, and I know there's a couple of times in here, well, actually many times in here, where you say, wait, reread the last paragraph again. So there's a lot of reading and rereading to be done here to make sure you get the idea. We appreciate you being with us this morning.
Well, thank you very much. The book, by the way, the book is geared for executives who want to move ahead. That is what the people it is geared for. It is no question about it. It will make them more likely to be promoted, period. If you're an executive and you're not using the book, you're making a mistake.
good advice. John, thank you very much. Again, it's called John Malloy's Popularity Game. You can find it on Amazon or wherever you buy your books. He's a little cutie there on the cover of the book.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN, Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward opening losses on Wall Street a little bit later this morning. Dow futures are down 38 points. Now, agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Well, it's been a long time since Friday, so maybe we start the report on this first trading day of the week with a quick rundown on how the markets acted on Friday. The September wheat contract was up 11 cents. September corn up 11 cents a bushel. September soybeans up 13.25 cents a bushel. And in livestock trade, the December lean hog contract up 87 cents a hundredweight. The October live cattle contract down 40 cents. And the September feeder cattle contract ended the day down 72 cents. It's a busy 4 days coming up, and the Sandwich Fair starts it off tomorrow. Opening day at the Sandwich Fair, that continues through Sunday. Max Armstrong will be there on stage with the Backpage Band on Wednesday. I'll be there on stage at noon on Thursday with the Backpage Band. And the Chicago Ag Club gets underway for the season. Its meeting is tomorrow, 12 noon to 2 p.m. The topic, farmland values and rental trends in the Midwest. 1 to 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon at the University Club, 76 East Monroe Street in Chicago. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Tuesday, September 4th. The PMI Manufacturing Index is out. The ISM Manufacturing Index is out. We'll also get a report on construction spending on the earnings calendar today, restoration, hardware. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Tuesday, September the 4th.